Father, we just thank you for everything that you're doing so far. We thank you for the joy that's in your house, that's in your people. And as we go forth with the word, we just give your Holy Spirit to the ability and the permission to do whatever else he wants to do. We thank you for strengthening us, renewing us. We thank you for bringing your light and your joy into us. And as you brought it into us, we're sharing it and we're releasing it out into your people. We thank you for this, Lord, and we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight I'm going to be talking about 40-year cycles. It's not going to be what you think it is. It's going to be kind of like a summarization of the different things that God has been saying. And it's appropriate that what's going on with Sister Barbara, Sister Shirley, and the street ministry, and the other things that we don't know that you all are doing on a daily basis to minister to other people. So tie yourself into this, make yourself feel, you know, that you're working in line with what God is doing for this season. God recently spoke through Pastor Barbara and said that we were entering into a new 40-year cycle. And that should spark some excitement, because when you look at some of the 40-year cycles that have been, it has been killing people off who didn't want to serve God. And if you look at the example of Moses, he sent the 10 spies out, or the 12 spies out. 10 of them came back with a negative report. God got angry, and he killed off a bunch of people. So you're on the good side because you're still here. You crossed over into that new dispensation. So that is something to rejoice over and rejoice in, because you didn't get killed. God is still giving you a chance and an opportunity. In this transition, the body of Christ has been tested and tried to the very core of its being. And can we all say amen to that? I want to look at Matthew chapter 28, and we're transitioning from Easter, Passover season, but I thought it would be appropriate to tie Jesus is risen into what we're talking about tonight. Now, after the Sabbath, near dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and other Mary went to look at the tomb. And a great earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone from the opening of the tomb and sat on it. The angel's appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards shook, paralyzed with fear at the sight of him, and became like dead men, pale and immobile. Again, God is bringing angel visitations. He's also bringing earthquakes, and he's bringing things that are going to strike at your emotions, one of them being fear. Verse 5, but the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said he would. Come, see the place where he was lying. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee, as he promised. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." The good news, he's risen. The good news, he's ascended back to his Father. And we're due for one of the best spiritual times in our walk with God that we could ever imagine. Doesn't mean that all of it's going to be good, but the anointing is going to be here to do the miraculous that God has been talking about and been prophesying to. We made it. We made it on this side of the 40-year cycle, and it's going to be the good side, where we're going to inherit the land and we're going to reap those blessings and those benefits that God has been talking about. Now, imagine with me, if you will, what it felt like for the disciples to see Jesus being killed, put in a tomb, and then to discover that he had arisen from the grave. Have you ever really sat and thought about what that must have felt like? That had to be a pretty, pretty awesome thing to realize everything that this person has said to me has come to pass. So you don't really see some of the personal prophecies that he gave to the disciples in the Word, but there had to have been some side conversations. Hey, Peter, you're going to do this. Matthew, you're going to do this. You know, all of the other disciples' names, you're going to do this. So now, think about this on an awesome level, because everything he said came to pass. So everything that he said to me is going to happen. It's going to come to pass. That had to shake them up in a big way. But it shook them up in a way that would sober them up and realize, hey, I've got to get busy. I've got to get in here and get myself going, because all of the stuff that Jesus said is going to happen is going to happen. What did it feel like? Have you ever thought about that? There are times in your life where all of the pieces of the puzzle fit together, and you just know that you know that everything that God has spoken to you is going to happen. And I know we all can testify that we've had times where the prophetic words that God has given us has come to pass. And you can see how different puzzle pieces are fitting together, and you can see how you're changing, your situation's changing, different pieces around about you are changing, and it's all starting to make sense, it's all starting to gel. And those are exciting times. I remember there was being under the anointing, went with Pastor Barbara to pray for someone, and that person was raised from the dead, and it was just an awesome feeling to feel that electricity in the atmosphere. And it really shook me up bad to have to experience that and go under that. But there's going to be more days where that occurs. There's going to be more days when the power of God is just going to fall and do what he wants to do. And let's get excited about that, because these are the days. Those moments are precious and they're to be cherished when those puzzle pieces fit together. Under the anointing, everything in your life makes sense. Under the anointing, think about that. It lines up. And you can see why God allowed for certain things to happen in your life. But outside of that anointing, it doesn't make sense. You know, if you look at Job suffered tremendously. God has called some of us to suffer tremendously. And to the natural mind, it doesn't make sense. Why are they going through? They're a good person, or they have a good attitude. You know, they always do good for someone else. And it's not going to make sense in the natural, but in the spiritual, it's God, because he's doing things to you, and he's causing other people to see that you're marked by him. You have a special plan and a special purpose in your life to be used, and you're being used in whatever way he chooses to use you. Job had that experience where God used him to suffer, and he used his example of suffering to be put forth to the rest of the body of Christ to say, Job could go through it, you could go through it. You know, think about some of the things that you've went through in your life. It's your testimony. It's the thing that you're going to be able to use to talk to other people and say, God brought me out of this darkness. God brought me out of poverty. God brought me out of gluttony. God brought me out of whatever your sin is, and he set you free. And that's going to be what God is going to use to draw people to you, the testimony that you have. Sister Shirley with the cancer, she had that experience of being healed and set free. She jumped right into praying for that person. Think about the things that you've been set free from, the things that God has spoken to you that you're going to help other people with. Jump into them. Jump into them with your faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 13. And I'm reading from the Amplified version because it added a lot more words to it. But I think it flows and gives you a good, clear understanding. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verses 8. Love never fails. It never fades nor ends. But as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for the gift of special knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. For our knowledge is fragmentary and incomplete. But when that which is complete and perfect comes, that which is incomplete and partial will pass away. Verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I did away with the childish things. For now, in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma. But then, when the time of perfection comes, we will see reality face to face. Now I know in part, just in fragments, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known by God. And now there remain faith, abiding trust in God and His promises, hope, confident expectation of eternal salvation, love, unselfish love for others growing out of God's love for me. Doesn't that sound awesome? Love, unselfish love for others growing out of God's love for me. And when you really have that settled within your heart, within your spirit, you'll go through anything for God. You'll go through anything for God. Titus, again, back to the disciples. When they had that moment, that clicking, that understanding of, man, this is really, really going to happen, nothing could stop them. Nothing could stop them. We're going to talk about this at the end, but all of them died horrible deaths. They didn't care. Because they had that clicking, that moment inside of themselves when they realized this is real. And the body of Christ is coming into this time period because we're transitioning to this new 40-year season where it's going to click. This really is real. There's not going to be any turning back or any going back for us at all. And we're not going to want to go back. Sin nature's gone. You know, doing stupid things, gone. Because we're going to be like, I don't have time for that. I'm not even interested in that. It doesn't faze me anymore. It's not even attractive to me anymore because the clicking took place. Under the anointing, everything in your life makes sense. It lines up and you can see why God allowed for certain things to happen. But outside of that anointing, it just doesn't make sense. When you read 1 Corinthians 13, there seems to be an understanding from Paul that you are coming of age. You are coming of age. A lot of people tie this with love, and I'm not taking anything away from that. But if you look step by step at what he's doing, he's saying, hey, you're reaching a point of maturity. You're reaching a point of where God can expect and he can use you, and he can throw different things on you, and you're not going to fall apart. You're not going to be crying in the corner talking about, oh, woe is me. I can't do this. This is too hard. Because you know, all right, God expects this of me and I'm capable. Not in my own flesh, my own desires, but in the anointing, I'm capable to accomplish these tasks that are before us. Just think about some of the awesome things that God has called us to do. But in the natural, absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. You know, you're gonna heal people, or you're gonna win a million people. All of us have at one point in time God called us to win 1 million people. Have you ever really thought about how many people that is? That's a lot. That's more than this that's in this room. But each of us, 1 million people. Far beyond our wildest expectation, and in the natural, completely impossible. But in the spiritual, it's possible. And with that coming of age is a deeper understanding of knowing what is expected of you. You come to a place of knowing that you don't see everything as God sees it. You come to a place of knowing that you are already flawed, and because of these flaws, you cannot rely upon your own human wisdom or understanding to accomplish anything. You come to a place of knowing that you don't see everything as God sees it. That is such a mind-blowing thing, because for me, a lot of times I'm like, all right, I know the answer, and I'm going in with this answer. And my wife or God or Pastor Barbara will have to say, no, you don't. You don't have a clue. you're not even beginning to understand what's going on in this situation. And as soon as I realized that, it's like, oh. So we're all going to have that light bulb moment of, I have to stop thinking that I know everything. I have to stop thinking that I understand the whole situation, the whole process. Because when I do that, I'm available for God to give me more information. As soon as you lock yourself in and say, I know it, you're done. You've missed whatever God is about to do. As soon as you lock yourself in and say, I know how God is going to perform the miracles. I know how God is going to have us do the greater works. You're shutting God out. You're stopping the flow of the Holy Spirit from moving upon you and in you. And you don't want to do that. And we're not going to do that because we've learned in this stage of maturity. We don't see everything as God sees it. Walking under this knowledge gives us the freedom to walk in love. I can love everybody because I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to nitpick your sins because I know I got sins too. Not that I'm still walking in them, but I know from whence I came. I remember from whence I came, and I'm not going to judge you out of an unrighteous place. I'm going to look at you, and I'm going to say, they definitely need prayer. God, what is it that's causing them to stay in this place? What is it that you want me to do? Sometimes it's nothing. Sometimes it's intercede. Sometimes it's go and say something. But instead of coming at it from a position of already knowing, you know, they're just going to go straight to hell, which sometimes I say, you can't really do that. You have to pull back and you have to acknowledge that there's more going on than meets the eye. A lot of people have judged pastors' children for things that they don't understand that are going on in the spirit that they're being attacked with. A lot of people have judged you for things that they don't understand that are going on in the spirit and they don't know. And the magical thing is they never ask God, hey, what's really going on here? And that's sad. But we're moving out of that because we're going to a greater place of maturity. Without this ability, without having grown in this grace, you will be in a way of whatever God is doing. Without having a deeper understanding, without knowing that you don't see everything as God sees it, you are going to be in the way. In this new 40-year dispensation, we are already conscious of this, so we're not going to be in the way anymore. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people, making the very most of your time on earth. I like that, verse 16. Making the very most of your time on earth. Recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, stupidity, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. Be filled, be filled, be filled, constantly guided by Him. There's times, different events and different things happen in your life, and it sucks the spirit right out of you. And we have to be wise enough to know, all right, the Spirit of God has left me. What's going on? Come and fill me back up. Come and fill me back up. I need more. I've given out. I've been attacked. Different people are performing witchcraft against me by saying things that they think they know what God wants me to do, and they have no clue. That's another form of witchcraft that goes on, because people will pray things that they think that they know and they have no idea what's going on in your life. Verse 19, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is speaking to that new level of spiritual maturity that God has brought us into in this new 40-year cycle. Now, after Jesus went back to heaven, we know that the disciples were empowered with the Holy Spirit. During this next 40-year cycle, we're going to see a greater empowerment come from the Holy Spirit. During this next 40-year cycle, we're going to see a greater empowerment come from the Holy Spirit. This empowerment is going to come from the place of knowing God. We've all have had times of developing our intimacy through those trials and the tribulations. We all have had times where that intimacy has come because of, you know, no one is coming to our rescue on purpose. No one is there patty caking us saying you're going to be okay on purpose. It's ordained by God. God has literally told all of us, grab yourself by your bootstraps. No one is going to pick you up but me, God, and move on. And we all have been in different situations where God has done that to us. And because of that, he's given us this new maturity that we are walking in. Now, this empowerment is going to come from the realization that the gifts of the Spirit are not toys that God gives to us, but they are tools that will be used to advance his kingdom. And unfortunately, the people in the other 40-year dispensation use the gifts of the Spirit as toys and not tools. We're going to see a greater empowering of the Holy Spirit like the disciples did after Jesus ascended back to the Father. Let's look at John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. So when it was evening on that same day, the first day of the week, though the disciples were meeting behind barred doors for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with great joy. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you as my representatives." Again, that's something that God has called us all to do. We're all going to go out as his representatives. Verse 22 is most important. And when he said this, Jesus breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I think this is key. He spoke over them to receive the Holy Spirit. God is speaking over us now to receive a deeper impartation of the Holy Spirit in this season. Verse 23, "If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven because of their faith. If you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained and remain unforgiven because of their unbelief." The disciples received their first impartation of the Spirit with Jesus, right before he ascended back up. This impartation came by the breath of Jesus. They walked with him. They talked with him. They became sober-minded. And if you look at what goes on, sometimes people who don't have that first impartation, they get the giddiness, they get the excitement, but they don't have the sober-mindedness, and they lose what God is doing. But God has been preparing not only us, but the other part of the remnant that's out there, and we're sober-minded. We're not going to do the things that we used to do. We're not going to get into the silliness that went on that destroyed the other revivals, because God's brought it. He's bringing it. It's coming. So, and because we know and we've been seasoned and tested and tried, we're not going to mess it up, because God has placed too much in us to mess it up. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 5 and verses 12 to 14. This is the disciples again. While being together and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised of, which he said, "You have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized and empowered and united with the Holy Spirit not long from now." So this is Jesus speaking to them saying, there's more coming. Verse 12. Then the disciples returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, Olive Grove, which is near Jerusalem, only a Sabbath day's journey, less than 1 mile away. When they had entered the city, they went upstairs to the upper room where they were staying indefinitely. That is Peter and John and his brother, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Nathanael, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, Thaddeus, the son of James. All these with one mind and one purpose were continually devoting themselves to prayer, waiting together, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like a rushing violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were being distributed among them, and they rested on each of them as each person received the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled, that is, diffused throughout their being, with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, different languages, as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out clearly and appropriately. So they got, Jesus spoke over them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They went into the upper room, and the Holy Spirit descended upon them as well. So there's two impartations that went on and that took place. These same disciples were waiting in Jerusalem for another impartation from the Holy Spirit. This impartation did not come by Jesus breathing on them. The Holy Spirit just fell on them all. It was at Jesus' command that the disciples waited to receive this impartation of the anointing. God is commanding us again, wait to receive this impartation. Don't go out before it. Don't move before the cloud. Wait until that fullness comes. Everyone who was in that room was filled. They were earnestly waiting on the promise that Jesus had given to them. Now in verses 5 through 13 of Acts chapter 2, the religious crowd accused the disciples of being drunk on wine. But Peter, anointed by the Holy Spirit, stood up and preached Joel chapter 2 to them, which is absolutely amazing because, again, confirmation upon confirmation. The Old Testament confirms the New, and the New Testament confirms the Old. Let's look at what Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 21. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be explained to you. Listen closely and pay attention to what I have to say. These people are not drunk, as you assume, since it is only the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is the beginning of what was spoken of through the prophet Joel." That was just the beginning. Verse 17. "And it shall be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see divinely prompted visions, and your old men shall dream divinely prompted dreams." Verse 18. "Even on my bondservants, both men and women, I will in those days pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will bring about wonders in the sky above and signs attesting miracles on the earth below, blood and fire and smoking vapor. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes." We know, because we've been going through these teachings in here. God even gave Pastor Barber a prophetic word about Joel chapter 2 coming to pass. Here it is. This is what was prophesied in Acts chapter 2. This season that we're transitioning into is this season. This blood and fire, we've had the blood moons going on. We have earthquakes going on. Delaware had tornadoes again in this month. I think it's been a couple years since the last tornadoes that we had. Something's going on. Something is happening. And that something is God. that something is the Holy Spirit. So everything that he's done to prepare Delaware, the remnant that's in Delaware, get ready. It's time to sober up. It's time to walk in that maturity that he's placed inside of us. Because now he's going to start pulling on us. And it's going to be everything that he said it was going to be. We're going to be so busy. You're not going to have homes. You're not going to have jobs. You're just going to be doing whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do day in and day out. So it's here. It's not going anywhere. It's here. This is what you were brought in this time period for. This is what you were, your mom and dad, some of you think you were an accident. You're not, you weren't. You're not. You were put on this earth in this time period for a reason. You're not an accident. This is young and old, because there's old people who think they're accidents too, by different things that other people said to them, or your parents said to them. You're not an accident. And it shall be that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, invoking, adoring, and worshiping the Lord Jesus, shall be saved, rescued spiritually. Here's the salvations. Here are the salvations just coming in. After Peter told them these things, that's when 3,000 people were changed and infilled with the Holy Spirit. He preached one message and 3,000 people came in. In verses 37 through 40 of Acts chapter 2, Peter strongly admonishes the religious crowd to repent, and they do so. And 3,000 people are filled with the Holy Spirit. This dispensation that we are in now, this new 40-year cycle, is going to be filled with all kinds of adventures just like this. All kinds, just like this. But it takes having the Holy Spirit come upon you in such a strong way that you yourself are changed. And God has said he's going to be doing that. If the disciples hadn't received that first touch from Jesus, that first breath of the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't have been able to soberly tell the other people what was really going on. So again, we have to experience it first. We have to be first fruits. We have to be the forerunners that God has been calling us forth to be. It was from a place of experiencing God that they could easily tell the people that the Holy Spirit is real. This boldness that Peter had mimics the boldness of Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were leaders in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, when God was about to bless the Israelite children with their own land. God was taking them out of Egypt into a land flowing with milk and honey, but the people had a religious mindset that needed to be broken off of them. God has already done away with religion. This next 40-year cycle is truly going to be about having a relationship with him. And let's look at the Numbers chapter 13, verses 25 to 33. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, and brought back word to them that all the congregation, and showed them the land's fruit. They reported to Moses and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey." So stop there. What God said is true. The 10 spies did say some truth. The land does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. But the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified, walled, and very large. Moreover, we saw there the descendants of Anak, people of great stature and courage. The people descended from Amalek live in the land of Negev, south country. The Hittite, the Jebusite, the Amorite live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the Dead Sea and along the side of the Jordan. Here's the godly spies. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession of it, for we will certainly conquer it." But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people of Canaan. The religious mindset says you can't. Not now, not today. You need more training. You need more wisdom. You need more qualifications. You need to have 13,000 titles in front of your name and behind your name. You need to come from a great big church. You know, all of those dumb things that religious people say that will stop you. My favorite one is you're a woman. You can't minister because you're a woman. That's the craziest thing in the world. Crazy. Completely crazy. But God has called all men and women to minister to his people. And he's calling you to minister to his people. I lost my spot. Verse 32. So they gave the Israelites a bad report about the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we went in spying out is a land that devours its inhabitants. It's too hard. We can't ever do this. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. In this 40-year dispensation, it's going to take faith to believe God in this season. The faith that God gave you. All of the trials and the tribulations that you went through in the previous 40-year dispensation were meant to strengthen your faith. They were designed by God to build you up, make you stronger, and give you a deeper focus on God. All of the trials and tribulations that you went through in the previous 40-year cycle were meant to strengthen your faith. They were designed by God to build you up, make you stronger, give you a deeper focus, because you're going to need that faith in this season to move the mountains that God is placing before us. You have to get this in your spirit. God wasn't trying to kill you. You really need to understand that. He wasn't trying to kill you. If he wanted to kill you, he could have done it very easily. God didn't send you into a valley experience to torment and torture you. He doesn't do that. And sometimes that's hard to remember when you're going through and you're in a tough place. He did it to show you who you are in him. And again, this comes back with that knowledge and that maturity when you realize, hey, God has a reason for me being here. God has a reason for me going through this particular situation that I'm going through right now. And I have to learn the lesson. And the sooner we say, Lord, what is the lesson that you want me to learn out of this? The thing will not bother us anymore. And we will never care if we ever get out of it. The sooner that we learn the lesson that we're supposed to learn in that situation, we will stop caring about it. And then we will do what is necessary for us to move forward. The trials and tests of life and your experiences won't be the same in this next season because God is going to use them to do different things inside of you. The trials and tests of life and your experiences won't be the same in this next season because God is going to use them to do different things inside of you. God has already done away with religion. This next 40-year cycle is truly going to be about having a relationship with him. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified, that is acquitted of sin, declared blameless before God, by faith, let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God and the joy of reconciliation with him through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. Through him, we also have access by faith into this remarkable state of grace in which we firmly and safely and securely stand. Verse 2 again. Through him we also have access by faith into this remarkable state of grace in which we firmly and safely and securely stand. Let us rejoice in our hope and the confident assurance of experiencing and enjoying the glory of our great God, the manifestation of his excellence and power. Verse 3, and not only this, but with joy, let us exult in our sufferings, and rejoice in our hardships, knowing that hardship, distress, pressure, trouble, all of us have been through these things, produces patient endurance. And endurance, proven character. Have you ever thought about that? God is proving your character. Never thought about endurance being that. You know, I just thought it was, you know, trying to make it through. But really, God has proven your character. And all of you in here, because you're here tonight, God has proven your character. Because you're going into this next 40-year cycle, God has proven your character. Spiritual maturity, improving character. Hope and confident assurance of eternal salvation. Such hope in God's promises never disappoints us because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Because you have been through these tests and trials, you know that God has your back. You know that God is not abandoning you in a storm. The storm was fashioned by God to show your enemy how good God is. The storm was fashioned by God to show your enemy how good God is. There is a maturity that the body of Christ is about to step into that will cause many to know that God is with us. This maturity is giving you the ability to not react when the enemy does stuff to you. And isn't that one of the hardest things in the world, to not react? You know, when you look at Jesus on the cross, when you look at Jesus before Pilate and all of the stories that he's being whipped, he's being beaten, but he doesn't react. He has great, great restraint. And before, I can say I didn't have great, great restraint. 5 years ago, I didn't have as much restraint as I do now. And you all can say the same thing when you really look at the situations and circumstances. We would be quick to say something. Now it's like, let me hold that. Let me see what God's really saying. Because if not, we know it's going to get us in trouble. And somehow, some way, it's going to be turned back around and you're going to be the bad guy. But because we've learned through pressures and trials to just be quiet. God is proven us. He's proven our character. So this maturity is giving you the perseverance to endure the suffering like a good soldier of the cross. So back to Joshua and Caleb. When Moses sent the 12 spies out, Moses already knew from experience that God isn't a man that he should lie. He already knew that. Moses knew from experience that God was doing certain things to prepare and test the people. God is purposeful about everything that he does. So in Numbers 14, 1-4, guess what happened? That purpose that God has set up exposed the rebellion that was within the hearts of the people. In Numbers chapter 14, verses 1-4, the people rebel against what God has said. They believe the 10 spies who gave the evil report and not Joshua and Caleb. So guess what happened? A lot of people died. They got killed off. So this is a good place to say here, stop looking for these other people who were in the previous 40-year dispensation to come back. They got killed off for a reason. They got separated for a reason. They can't come into this next season. It's not because God doesn't want them to. It's because they didn't allow themselves to be proven. They got mixed in with the wrong crowd. They got mixed in with the wrong faith. They gave up on God. All of the reasons that go with this, they're not going to be in this next season. Now, I want to preface that with saying there are some people who God has specially put aside, and they will be coming forward. But there's others of them, they're not coming into this next season. So let's total balance and everything that's going on with that. Joshua and Caleb did their best to try and persuade them that God would be with them, but it was not in the people's heart to believe God. Joshua and Caleb did their best to try and persuade them that God would be with them, but it was not in the people's hearts to believe God. Numbers chapter 14, verses 5 to 10. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the Israelites. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes as a sign of grief. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "The land through which we pass as spies is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." But all the congregation said, "Stone Joshua and Caleb with stones." The religious people will kill you. They will shut you down in a second. They will do everything that they can in their power. But look back at what Joshua and Caleb and them said. God is going to be with us. God is going to provide for us. God has already taken care of them. That's the faith that we have to hold on to. Whatever mountain that you have in front of you right now that the enemy is screaming, the religious people are screaming at you saying, God is not going to be there for you. Don't listen to them. Listen to God. Hold on to your faith in this season, because that is going to show who you really are, and it's going to show them who God really is. Verse 10, "But all the congregation said to stone Joshua and Caleb with stones. But the glory and the brilliance of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting, tabernacle, before all the sons of Israel." The glory is coming. That great glory that God has been promising is coming in this 40-year dispensation. I believe it's significant that God told Pastor Barbara to change the hope sign to believe. God really is not going to beg you anymore. He's not doing that. He is just wanting you to believe him. Believe the prophecies, believe his word, just believe. The disciples, after Jesus rose from the grave, believed. When Jesus breathed on them in the upper room, they believed. God was who he was, and they didn't need to be convinced. This next 40-year cycle is going to be God just showing up and showing off. He has cleansed and purged the glory carriers. The glory carriers are getting ready to be sent forth into the darkness, and nothing will persuade them to quit. When you look at the disciples, all of them died horrible deaths. You didn't have to convince them that Jesus was real. They believed. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down at his request. Andrew was crucified. Thomas was pierced through with the spears of four soldiers. Philip cruelly put to death. Matthew was stabbed to death in Ethiopia. Bartholomew was martyred. James was stoned and then clubbed to death. Simon was killed after refusing to sacrifice the Son of God. Matthias was burned to death. John died of natural causes. He was exiled to Patmos after they tried to boil him in oil at Rome. God is good. Father, I just thank you for this word. I thank you that it went into the hearts of your people. And as we're preparing to transition to the altar call, we know that you're working and you're moving. We pray, Father, that greater spiritual maturity would be sent into your people tonight, and that we would go forth challenging not ourselves, but challenging you to take us to that new place with greater understanding and greater depth of wisdom. Father, give us this maturity. We love you. I believe that the Lord wants to open the altar up tonight for having that receive that greater sense of maturity. And if you want that, the altar's open for you to receive.